I forget it. So, Mary Ann, don't ever think that you don't play an important part. So,
at least it's good.
How many times this past week someone wished you a Happy New Year? Wouldn't it be nice if we knew how to have a Happy New Year? Does the Bible teach us anything about how to have a Happy New Year? Turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 3. And we're going to spend the next few weeks on a series that could be entitled, How to Have a Happy New Year. There really are some key biblical elements in having a Happy New Year. And what I want to address this morning is what I believe to be one of the primary elements in having a Happy New Year. Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loosen. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Take your pick. You want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit or with fire? Before you get all Pentecostal and think, oh, I want the baptism of fire, you better figure out what you're talking about here. Let me get it. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John up in prison. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, heaven opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Let's pray. Almighty God, we have wished for ourselves a Happy New Year. we have wished others a happy new year. Father, it is with great expectation that we approach this on the first Lord's Day of the new year, that things in Christ will be great in 08. And we're fully aware that the discourager, that Satan, is roaming about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it is in His name we pray. Amen. It doesn't really matter what stage or what age of life you're in. The arrival of a new year is time for personal evaluation. The usual list for most of us include things like getting in shape, stop smoking, maybe finally take that trip you've been wanting to take. Since we're already 6 days into this new year, how many of you have already broken resolutions that you made for the new year? I want you to notice something this morning, that at Jesus' baptism, He is praying. It's an important detail when it comes to recognizing God. See, primarily, how to have a happy new year is based primarily on recognizing God, recognizing who He is. Satan wants us to recognize God based on what He does. Well, if He don't make me feel better, He ain't much of a God. See? You'll be disappointed because His ways are not your ways. See? If you base your recognition of God on what He does, I don't always understand what He does, but the Bible tells me who He is. So I need to recognize God for who He is. I can understand that. That's been communicated to me. Luke tells us at the baptism, which we generally, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, by the way, it's the beginning of any of our ministries. Luke tells us that the heavens opened up. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in a bodily form like a dove. And in case anybody missed these obvious signs, there was this voice that in my mind sounds very baritone, that comes from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." The primary cornerstone of Christianity is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God recognizes at His baptism, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, you know what Jesus said? "Lo, I will be with you always." It's the facts. God declared Him to be His beloved Son. Jesus said the very foundation of our belief was that He was the Christ. And then before He bodily ascended into heaven, He said He would be with us always. But it is often difficult for us to recognize God's presence in the blur that our lives can be. Things are happening that make me ask the question, what is He doing? Not the question about who He is. I'm asking you this morning, this group right here, to start your new year by recognizing God. You want to have a happy new year? The first primary thing is to recognize God. I also realize that I am proposing a proposition that is difficult at best. I know this because I'm a full-time evangelist. You folks graciously pay me to do this. My job is God. Every morning, every week, in season and out of season, I am a paid ambassador here on earth, promoting, teaching, healing in His name, doing everything I do in the boss's name. But in the week that just ended, the very first week of the year, I found myself in a swirl of activity. You can call it God stuff. And in the midst of God stuff, I found myself making decisions that were not based in prayer. I found myself doing things by my own strength. I found myself, by the end of this first week of the year, getting angry and saying things I shouldn't say. I found myself being callous and indifferent to certain situations where I should have been more sensitive. I found myself being far too interested with things that have nothing to do with kingdom work. Listen. Jesus was not kidding around when He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." You know what things He was talking about? All these things. All these things. Not just paying the bills, but peace that passes understanding, emotional stability, the ability to work through pain. What I'm saying to you is that I know it's a difficult proposition for all of us to recognize God, because it's difficult for me, and God is my job. You have other jobs. You have commitments that I don't have. You don't have the luxury that I do, spending all the time you want in Bible study and prayer. Moses, been in the wilderness, tending sheep in Midian for 40 years. Hear that? 40 years. And he came upon a burning bush. And he heard the voice of God speaking to him about his people and their need to be delivered from the bondage of Egypt. You notice God didn't say, "Mo, I know you've been hurting for certain. Now come over here and tell me all your troubles. Let's just get together, and Mo, you tell me how all unfair it's been, and I'll give you some understanding, pat you on the head, and you know, I'll make it up to you somehow, Mo, for the last 40 years." Do you notice what God's message to Moses is? "You have some people in Egypt, and I'm going to send you to deliver them." You think Moses might have had a little bit of depression going on? You think Moses might have felt deserted by God in any time in those 40 years? You think Moses couldn't stomach another piece of sheep dip? And God didn't say, "Oh, Mo, I'm sorry." No, he said, "Look, see those people? Put your focus there." He told Moses to take off his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. Moses had been tending sheep in that area for 40 years. How many times do you think that Moses had passed that very spot? You think this is a new place to him? How many times in the last 40 years has Moses stood in exactly the same place? And now God tells him the ground is holy? Had the ground been holy the whole time? And Moses is just now becoming aware of it? Do you and I walk on holy ground all the time, but we're moving so fast, or we're navel-gazing so much, or we're returning so many calls and writing emails that we miss the idea that we're on holy ground? Remember Jacob's ladder? Jacob lays down to go to sleep, and he dreams in his dream, and he sees a ladder with angels ascending and descending on the ladder. Remember Jacob's words after his dream? He said, surely God is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. Could it be that God is around us all the time and we don't notice it? That it's not God, but it's our paradigm shift that keeps us from seeing Him? Is God trying to get your attention? Shouldn't we do everything that's within our power in order to recognize God? It's the only way that things are going to be great in 08. Number one, three things we need to do to recognize God. Number one, we need to look for Him. Isn't that profound? You want to recognize God, you got to look for Him. I mean, try to contain yourself. You know, this is deep. Go to the front of your bulletin. Anybody recognize that character? Waldo's on the front of the bulletin this morning. Now, a lot of you grew up with Waldo. Remember, where's Waldo? There's a series of busy pictures, and on every page somewhere, on each one, there was a little picture of this character named Waldo. I hated those things. You know? I am so frustrated because I couldn't find him. It all blurs together. See? And the more I looked, the more I thought, there ain't no stinking Waldo here. See? You ever notice? Somebody points him out to you. Every time you look at the picture, you can't keep from seeing him. he's the only thing that sticks out, isn't he? Now you look at the picture. Oh, there's Waldo. See, you don't just immediately sit down and look at the picture and find Waldo, find him in the picture. He's there. But it takes patience. It takes slowing down and carefully looking at the picture in order to find him. Same thing applies as we look for God. Moses had probably walked past that spot thousands of times. Moses was probably planning on walking right on by that burning bush, but the Bible says he turned aside to check out the bush. He investigated it, and it was only then when God saw that he had gone over to look at that burning bush, that he called Moses from inside that bush. Moses had to exercise his own curiosity before God spoke to him. The good news is, God's not hiding. He's not being coy. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not trying to do all he can do to remain undetected like Waldo. God is there all along. He's just waiting for us to slow down enough. Look carefully and to see Him. Trick to Waldo. And the trick that works for me is I got to quit looking for him. The more I look for him, the more frustrated I get. I got to take a look at the picture. See? And I am never going to find Waldo here. Waldo is here. In the picture. I'm never going to find Waldo by closing my eyes and focusing inward. The best way to find Waldo is to look at the total picture. Look for his distinctive blue pants and red and white sweater and his beanie cap. You've got to believe that God exists and He means what He says in order to find Him. Hebrews says that without faith it is impossible to please God. If you're feeling like God has let you down, think how He feels. He paid a debt He didn't owe. I owe a debt that I can't pay. Anybody who believes in Him has to first believe that He exists. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. This is a promise. This is a promise that's still in force. This is a promise that can help us in our struggles. This is a promise that can help 08 be great. I'll tell you what, 08 will be just like 07. And we don't do what the Bible says to do. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him. If you will look for Him with all your heart and all your soul." You can't expect to glance around half-heartedly and find Him. You got to seek Him with your whole heart. So number one, you got to look for Him. Number two, we got to leave our expectations behind. We all come based on our history, based on our religious upbringing, based on a lot of factors. We all come with some sort of an expectation. And a lot of times, I'm convinced that we can't find God in the world around us because of preconceived notions of who God is. And what He might be up to in the world, and where we might find Him. So, we're going to leave our expectations behind. You know, so unfortunately, a lot of people think that God is all about rules and regulations. The law. They think that God is some sort of a cosmic killjoy. Do this, don't do that. Don't touch, don't taste. John 10:10. See, I believe this verse as much as I believe Acts 2:38. I believe this verse as much as I believe repent and be immersed in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe it because it's in the book. Jesus said it. And it has to do with the right now. Jesus said in John 10:10 that I come that you might have life and have it to the full. Have it more abundantly. That's why He came. If that ain't working for you, then there's something wrong with the process. There's not something wrong with Jesus. Let's get the process right. Look it. Probably all of you could answer what the first miracle was that Jesus performed. Remember what He did? Did He restore a man's sight? Did He feed a big crowd? Or did He brew up a few barrels of wine? I'm not saying go home and brew up a few barrels of wine. I'm not promoting drinking. All I'm saying is that we've got to leave our expectations behind. And sometimes we come with some pretty wild expectations. You see, Jesus' biggest problem in being accepted in his own time is that he didn't do the things that folks expected of a religious leader. He didn't do the things that people expected a Messiah to do. If you want to see God, then you're going to have more luck going down to the bus terminal in Toledo, where the least and the last and the lost congregate, than you're going to at some fancy church somewhere. We need to stop being so quick to judge and classify who's in and who's out. I'm convinced God loves crazy people. Look how many he made. I mean, think of all the crazy people you know. And God's nuts about them. He loves them. If you want to see Jesus, then you've got to go to the places where Jesus himself hung out. God can't help us in 2008 or 2018 or 2080 if we don't get past the stereotypes and somebody else's interpretation of the Word of God. Get in the Word and dig around yourself and you might be very surprised. So, we got to look for Him. We've got to examine our own expectations and adjust our expectations. And number three, we've got to lose ourselves in love. Jesus said, "The new commandment that I give you is that you love one another as I have loved you." Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." We've simply got to get over ourselves if we want to see God. It's the difference between a mirror and a window. You've got to admit, I've got to admit, that my favorite topic outside of God is me. It's my favorite thing to talk about. It's my favorite thing to think about, my favorite thing to dwell on. See, but when we're looking in a mirror, everything we do revolves around us. And we're not going to find Waldo in the mirror. It's not where the picture is. When we spend all this time looking in the mirror, guess who the focus becomes? I start to look at all my needs. I look at myself. God, why didn't you make me prettier? Why did you make me with such a big nose? God, I noticed my eyes droop down here. You think you could fix that? I'm really feeling kind of bad about myself, God. See, but instead of looking in the mirror, what the Bible teaches us to do is look through a window. See, specifically the window of God's love. Right quick, turn to Matthew, chapter 25, and I'm not going to read it, but I want you to maybe read this when you go home, if something has struck you about this, and read this parable of the talents, Matthew 25, beginning with verse 14. You notice what the one person did was so focused on themselves that they went out and they buried that talent. They didn't risk anything. They didn't look through the window. They didn't invest their master's money. Jesus has made us new creations. He has given us the glory. He has revealed God's glory in us. Are we going to look in a mirror and bury that, what God has given us, or are we going to invest it in the world? I don't want to end up being a wicked servant because I'm constantly looking in the mirror. See, the guy who looked forward and invested those talents outside himself was the one who found favor with the master and was blessed because of it. Who do you think the happiest person was? The person who buried his talent and dreaded the master coming back? Or the person who looked outside himself, invested his talent, and was ready to tell the master, "Hey, I've got some return on this investment." We've got to learn to see the world through God's eyes. You want 08 to be great? You're going to have to recognize God. You want to see God? You want to recognize Him? And you've got to go to the places where you'd least expect Him to be. And express the love of God and just watch. God will show up. No, He won't show up. It's like the burning bush. He's already there. We just ain't seeing Him. It's already holy ground. We just haven't recognized it yet. He's already there, like Waldo. You'll just be able to recognize Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God, He will not hide from you. Recognize Him for who He is, not what He does. Look for Him. Leave your expectations behind and lose yourself in love, and you will see God. And I can guarantee, because the Word of God guarantees, that no matter what your situation, you will have a great 08. And even if things don't work out for you personally, you won't have as much time to notice it because you're going to be invested in other people's lives. Jesus invested in you. You invest in others. We loved you so much that we not only shared the gospel, but our very lives as well. Number 38, if you need to make a decision this morning, won't you come? Number 38, let's stand. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns.